From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Hallelujah. So my testimony is about how I was saved by the anointed oil that Bishop prayed for us on Sunday night when he anointed our feet with oil. I actually didn't want to come up. I don't know why, but I wasn't too mindful of coming up. But I did come, and he did anoint my feet. And Monday night, I was on my back step trying to hang out clothes. And my left feet slipped, and I almost went straight down the step. Luckily, I didn't fall. I managed to hold on a rail. The clothes fell, but I didn't fall. I managed to hold on to a rail, and then I remember that, you know, but for sure it is the oil. If it wasn't for the oil, I don't know what would have happened. I really don't know. So I really would like to thank God, thank Bishop for anointing my feet with oil so that I can be saved.
Tonight we are so grateful to be here. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for the things that you do for us. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the hope we have. Thank you for the gathering of your people. I pray you speak to us, affect our lives. Let us not leave tonight's service the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. My message is hell is real. Hell is real. Now, I think that you need to sometimes have certain experiences to really believe certain things. You see, we are people who are not easily moved except by circumstances. Are you there? For example, we need to hear that some prisoners have broken jail before people stay in their homes. If you see how people behaved during this so-called prison fire and all of that, you see how queer our minds are. You see how small people think. It has become, I don't see how even a president will come and address the nation when prisoners escape from jail. It is no big deal. It is no big deal. Do you see Trump or Bush or Reagan come to address America because some people left Alcatraz? I don't know. People who understand what I'm talking about. It's not. You have people who are in charge of these things. Yeah. And you see that, like, last night. What's happening? It's like last night, it was good, you know. I know that you want to feel hellfire small before you. That's all going on. Somebody touched something. You see how we behave in this country. It's sad. Now, I don't want to sound mean, but I wish the whole place would have burned down. Because you and I know, is that when this year? Wow, we have a meeting after church. You and I know that junk, that den shouldn't have been there for many years now. And they had some fire a few years ago. Was it this year or last year? Last year. So at least they should have thought about it. But it's the cost of building another prison that they are running away from. So the question is, how come they can't build another prison? How can we not build another prison? If it costs money, yes. How can we not have a road from Linden to Letham? Why are we afraid to spend money for the people's sake? Well, why are we afraid? Why are we hesitant? But when it comes to certain things, we'll do it. Certain things that we, the leaders, think is important, then they spend money on. But the things that are basic, how long have we not desired a road between Georgetown and Linden? You see, anytime you go through Linden, I'm preaching about hell. Hell is real. Because it's the same mentality that we have when it comes to these things. Anytime you go to Wismar, you cross the bridge, the Wismar Bridge. Lizzo will tell you because she lives on Burnham Drive. Anytime you cross the bridge, that bridge, anytime I cross it, I see how mediocre, how shallow-minded the leaders of this country are. Because that thing they call bridge was a real train used to. It was built for a train. The bauxite, isn't it, Lizzo? The bauxite, the little train that the bauxite they will carry from here to there. That was what it used to use. It was never a bridge. But it is a bridge that tracks with a lot of timber, heavy things. That's what they use now. If something happens to that bridge, Interior and Georgetown is disconnected. That's it. If that happens, Georgetown supplies to the Interior is finished. Of course, we are waiting for it to happen before. Now, I heard Patterson say the other day, something which is, and you can't blame the people. He's saying that the load, and it's true. If you see these old military trucks that we bring in from England, and how people pack it with petrol, gas, and diesel, and stacks, and coke, and drinks, and whatever, and they run from here to Letham and Madia for such a untarred road like that. They create more bigger holes on the road because the trucks are too heavy. But how can you prevent this if you don't asphalt the road and put a toll or something? And then as you are going into the bush to make money, you are also paying for the road you're using. At least we pay for the Merara Harbour Bridge. We pay for Baby's Bridge. We also pay for that small, short, 100 feet Wisman Bridge that is there. Why? It's that the common man has more sense than the politician. Basic. Now the place is on fire. You look at it. Now they had court. They had emergency court for some of the prisoners who had not committed high-level crimes, and they put them on bail. Why didn't you do this all along? That I did not know that Camp Street had over 1,000 prisoners. Why should something happen before? And it's the same thing you and I are doing, you know. We are acting as if there is no hell. That is why you are not motivated to tell anybody anything. That's why even you yourself, your Christian life, you are not even looking after yourself. We are waiting until we get the experience. Hell is real. I remember, I don't know
was Jalana? Where was Jalana? A few years ago, I was talking to Jalana. Jalana told me she doesn't believe in hell. Do you remember? I remember it was Jalana. Jalana Evans. She said she doesn't believe in hell. I said, you don't believe in hell? I said, I pray God will give you an experience of hell. Come, Jalana, come. Give her a microphone for me. Come, you are another witness. Microphone, please. Yeah. Do you remember?
Yes, Bishop.
Is it working? These people, they need some hellfire small. Okay, please. Is it working? Okay.
Yes, Bishop.
Okay. What did you tell me? Tell the church what you told me. Come on stage, man. You are beginning to be popular from today. Yeah.
A few years back.
Take it closer to your mouth.
A few years back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I was in whatever.
The people.
Bishop used to do a lot of prayers and stuff for me. But yet still, I didn't believe in hell. You know, I used to keep telling myself that this thing is not real because of what I used to did back then. So, you know, I was wondering why it was so hard for me those times, what I used to experience. I used to get a hard time. And then one day, me and Bishop, we had a talk, and, you know, he was wondering why is it these people
disturbing you.
Disturbing me. And I end up bringing up this hell thing. And I told him about it, and he told me that he prayed that I would have an experience.
Because you told me you don't believe in hell.
Yes, Bishop.
I was surprised at that. Little. How old are you now?
23.
You are 23. This is about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes, Bishop.
You were a teenager. And yeah. You telling me, a big man, that you don't believe in hell. So I told her, I pray for you tonight that you will have an experience of hell. Then you went to sleep. What happened?
My spirit leave my body, mm-hmm. And I saw myself just lying there on the bed.
So you were out and you saw yourself lying on the bed?
And I was wondering, what is this? You know, and then
you are dead. That's what they call dead.
And then suddenly I just saw myself in fire. And the heat was too much. There was so many faces there that I didn't even expect it to see. Yeah, the fire was...
There was one face you remember from playing football. You remember you told me that?
Was so many, Bishop. But
you told me a particular guy used to play football here, mm-hmm. And he was short.
And he was short. Yeah.
You remember? I remember.
Yes, Bishop.
I old, but I remember how them things.
Bishop.
You remember you told me that?
Yes, Bishop.
Can you mention his name? Do you remember his name? Yeah, is it a ghost or somebody? I don't know. Some notorious guy used to play football here many years ago. He was shot and he died or something.
Yeah, I know.
You remember the guy?
I remember the guy, but it's the name.
The name?
Yeah, the name.
Okay, letter. Is it Vibe?
Vibe? Yeah. Is he it? Was shot.
Is it that guy? You told me some guy you saw.
Yeah, Bishop.
Are you sure he's the same guy? Oh, you don't remember? I remember. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
So you saw people in hell?
Yeah, so many faces.
How did you know it was hell?
Because you told me what it was.
Okay.
Right?
Because you said you didn't believe it. I said, okay, tonight you experience hell.
Yes,
and it, indeed,
and it did
according to the word of the man of God.
Yeah. Yes, Bishop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so many faces were there.
From Isla Penitence or from?
Isla Penitence. The people who used to disturb me.
What do you mean by disturb you? Like, hustle you?
No, the stuff
okay,
that
so,
I used
ah,
to.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh.
The stuff that I
get
I
it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even so.
Nah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. And it was so much, so burning. It's like the faces, you couldn't even, like, they had this man,
okay.
And he had horn.
Okay.
And his face was terrible.
Gotta
my
be
God,
he.
Ugly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was just wondering, could this be what Bishop had told me? Hell?
Uh-huh.
I was crying, begging for help because I myself wondering, what is
how
this?
You come there?
Yeah, uh-huh. How come? I just leave my body. Suddenly, I start crying. I said, God, please, what is this? And then God speak to me. He spoke to me.
Uh-huh.
And it's when he told me that, do you know where you are? And he told me that you're in hell. And if you don't do the things that you should do, because you're here for a purpose,
mm.
you're going to end up here with these people.
Wow.
Yes, Bishop.
Hell is real. Thank you very much, Jalana. It's about 4 or 5 years ago. It took her a long time before she actually, she used to avoid me. When she see me, she looked straight. And then a point in time came, she wouldn't use this road. She would go to the back here. Concrete Street. After all these hell experiences. Isn't it fantastic? Eh? Yeah. So, I'm saying this to say that hell, turn to someone and tell them
hell is real.
Yeah. It is real because after you die, last week I spoke about beyond the grave. After you die, the Bible said is it Matthew chapter 23? Maxwell, give me that verse. We've done it before. The Bible says that he will separate the sheep from the goats. And these shall go, if he, I don't know, 45? You have 45? Up there, 36, something. Uh-huh. Which one is that? 36? Yeah, 35, 36, somewhere there. When the separation starts, sheep and goats. Remember we spoke about Matthew 25 last week. Do you remember, Briska? And he shall set the sheep, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Whether we believe it or not, all nations will be gathered before God. And he, God, shall separate all the nations, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So when the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die and after death, judgment, this is the judgment. There is going to be separation. All of us can't go into one place. Just as you are living free in your life and somebody is in incarceration, it's the same way. Whatever you see happening here on earth, God is the highest level of it. If we can find some people bad, if we can find some people not worthy to live among, human beings, if we can find some people worthy to die, then God Almighty, who is more righteous and more holy than us, also sees some people not worthy to come and be with him. That is why on the cross, Jesus said to the thief, he said that, you will be with me in paradise. It tells you that when people die, beyond the grave, there's life after the grave. And that life is either you're on the left or you're on the right. Whether you're a sheep or you're a goat. Whether you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. We Christians don't believe in hell so much. That is why we are not able to speak to others about God and about church. It's true. You and I don't believe in hell so much. When we come to church, it's because we want things to work for us. That's why we come to church.
It's because we have a problem we want it to be solved. We have no mind about going to die everlasting or going to live everlasting. That doesn't click. It's the same thing our leaders are doing. Our leaders are showing us a higher version of who we are. Yeah. Because you don't understand why we never have hydropower, hydroelectricity. Essequibo, Demerara, Babies, and Quarantine Rivers. We can't have free electricity. And you see, it is proven when Linden, the bauxite, used to work. They hardly paid electricity, Lizzo. Hardly would they, because of the bauxite, isn't it? Because they were able to, generate so much power that was too much for the plant. So everybody get free. The same thing can happen to us if we have hydropower. We can sell some and keep some. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lizzo. We can sell some to Brazil, sell some to Venezuela, sell some to Surinamese. We can the revenue that will come out of that. But you see, people are there in power as if they don't have this idea. Until the thing is human beings are like that. The Bible, Jesus said that you people, you are like that. Just like it happened in the days of Noah. When people drank, they were drinking and they were partying and they were marrying and they were doing all kinds of things until the rains came. When Noah told the people the world is going to end, people did not believe. So much so that the ark that was built, it's only animals who went into the ark. There were important people around those days. But only animals managed to make it. Because when animals, when you tell them, hi, they just go. When you tell human beings, hi. Jesus said it, Mark said, look for the one that Jesus said. Just as in the days of Noah, when people were eating and drinking, they were partying, they were giving in marriage. He said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we will be here. And one of the things that people don't even understand and even believe is that there is going to be something we call the rapture. As for the rapture, it is not going to be announced. Did you know that? The rapture is not going to be announced. We will be there. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come in the sky. And then those that are dead in Christ will rise first. And those that are alive will be changed. And then the two categories of people will meet Christ in the air. And then Christ will take us away with him for 1,000 years. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. Then there will be this 666 thing that everybody is talking about and people are making fun of and all of that. That is when it's going to be revealed. By the time that Jesus will come in the air for Christians who are dead and Christians who are alive to meet up with him, that day nobody knows. He said, go to 38. Charlie, 2 seconds. For us in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. You see, yesterday I was so annoyed. I woke up in the morning because I don't live in Guyana. I don't act as Guyanese act. I don't behave like a Guyanese. If I behave like a Guyanese, I will not please God. I don't think you understood what I said, but that's okay. I woke up in the morning, got my son ready, took him to school. When we go to the school, the place was locked up. Security said, there's no school today. I said, Lord God Almighty. Seriously? Why no school? Precaution that the guy who has escaped jail, the black man, will come into the school.
No, I don't know why you are laughing. I don't know why you are laughing. Annandale, Buxton, Bagdam. That is where you shouldn't go. These are not white, intelligent criminals who are looking for people to hold on and even take as kid and kidnap people. These black people want to live. They want to run away. They want freedom.
And they've closed the school. It was only my wife who was telling me that, oh, they posted it on their Facebook page. So I started to argue with her. I said, how many people are on Facebook? And so they made an announcement on the radio. So she was bringing the things. Announcement on the radio. I said, how many people listen to radio? Then I went to their Facebook page to check because I had not liked their page. So yesterday I liked their page. Then I saw they posted a message around 8:30-something last night, Sunday night. I said, 8:30-something, somebody is asleep. I mean, you can't take... this is not a school where it's free, oh. This is not a free school. For them to just make a decision without consulting anybody. I got real best. The day I get a chance, I will talk power to these people. Because I look at their things and I just keep quiet. Because they don't respect people. They don't respect people. The opinion may be different, but that's what I think. These are not terrorists, you know. They are not going to bomb anywhere. They want freedom. You think they are going to hide in a school and hold on to some rich people's children and say, if you don't, what? If you don't get me a helicopter to take me to Brazil, I will kill them. I mean, what kind of comedy is that? Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand what I'm talking about. We live in a society where we are made to be like clowns. I saw pictures of the police in their brown khaki uniforms lying on the ground with guns without bulletproof vest. I said, are these snipers? This is no sniper. I saw a policeman with his light blue short sleeve shirt, blood on the collar like that, with a gun, like a civilian. He was kneeling down, right? I said, look at one of them people. You are going to fight crime. You are going to fight people from the jail. And you don't have any protection. You see, listen to what I'm saying. We don't think real. That is how a policeman will put himself into such a situation. Because he never thinks that he will die. He never thinks that something can happen to him and he'll lose his life. Once he has a gun, he feels okay. But the people who manufactured the guns and taught us how to use guns, when you see a US or British or German or Dutch SWAT team going to face a situation, when you see them, you run away. But when you see our SWAT, because we don't believe in things. We think things are not real. We think that, oh, this will never happen. That's why we don't even plan. That's why we don't even plan. That's why we don't sit down and plan anything, because we think that things will just happen. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't make that mistake with our lives. The Bible says, for us in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered entered into the ark, the people did not believe. Laugh at Noah. Laugh. Look at that old man. His head is not working. Look at that old man. Let's go and tease him. Let's go and make fun of him a little bit. Let me go. Hey, Noah, what did you say was going to happen? He said, oh, the Lord says he's going to destroy us. It's the same thing that has happened to all of us. That you and I do not believe in hell so much for it to tilt us to the other side to be passionate about the lives and the souls of people. You don't have to be told to bring somebody to church before you do that if you believe in hell. Who tells you at your age to brush your teeth in the morning? So who tells you, as big as you are, in the morning to brush your teeth? Who tells you to have your bath? Who tells you to put on clothes? Why don't you just walk around like that? Because you have things you believe in. You have things that you understand and they have settled in your mind. And therefore, that's how you behave. Hell has not settled in our minds so much. It doesn't come over as it is real. But just as in those days, Noah was telling the people the earth is going to be destroyed. Things are going to end. Some people were drinking Jack Daniels. Laughing. Irish cream. Going to clubs. When they close from the club, then they will pass where Noah is building his structure. They say, look at this old man. Look at some crazy things he's doing. The Bible said that until the day Noah entered into the ark, even when Noah entered into the ark, people were laughing. Said, why is this guy going to kill himself? Why has he entered an ark and locked himself up? What is his problem? Who said who is coming? And they knew not until the flood came. That is the mistake. They knew not until. You don't want to be in ignorance until. You see, even if you and I make it to heaven, that is not the end of the story. We are going to be judged according to how many people we turned from destruction. I'm saying it again. Even if you and I make it to heaven, that's not the end of the story. To make it to heaven is just to have like a pass. So your salvation is just a pass. But your life within heaven depends so much on how you did what God wanted you to do, in so much as making sure that just as you got the pass, others will also get a pass. And you can't want to experience what Jalana experienced. What that guy experienced. God is not going to grant everybody a hell experience before you believe in hell. That's why we are here, to tell you about hell. That's why we are here, to preach to you about hell. And to tell you that hell indeed is real. If there's any subject you want to hear about in the church, it got to be hell. But yet you see how we even behave. I mean, my problem is even with us, the Christians. You see, these unbelievers are very ignorant. These guys who don't come to church, who don't know anything about church, they are so daft. They are so dark in their understanding that they don't believe in hell. But you and I, we have escaped that thing. We have a pass. And we are acting as if the show is not coming on. We are acting as if that nothing is going to happen. We are acting as if it will never come. Let us not be deceived about hell. It is real. One of the major organizations that deceive people about hell is the Jehovah Witnesses. The Jehovah Witnesses, they say that there is no hell. God, who loves people, will never take people to go and burn in fire. Let me tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible doesn't tell us so. There are three words from Greek and Hebrew that are translated hell. One is Hades, one is Sheol, and one is Gehenna. Hades and Sheol are places, they are called places of the dead. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, for example, Acts chapter 2 verse 27, the Bible said that because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. This is David prophesying about the life of Christ, that Jesus will die, but Jesus will not go to hell to suffer punishment, because Jesus can't go to hell and suffer. So the word hell there is the word that means the place of the dead. So Jesus' situation here when he dies for 3 days was to go to hell, the place where all dead people are, but he will not be left there. He will resurrect. That's what the Bible says. You will neither will thou suffer, you will not leave my soul in hell. It means that even though I will die a natural death, you will not leave me at the place of the dead. You will bring me back, because you will not allow me to decompose and smell and rot away. That is hell. Hades, the place of the dead. And that is what the Jehovah's Witness people, they speak about. They speak about this place called hell. But there's another place that they don't talk about. That is Mark chapter 9 verse 44. Mark chapter 9 verse 44. The Bible says, and he said unto them. Mark 9, 44, my dear. 43. He said what? And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Hell is so bad that if you go into heaven with one leg, it's okay. Hell is so bad that if you go to heaven with one eye, the Bible says it's okay. They'll call the one-eyed Christian who made it to heaven. But the Bible says that it's better to go or enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Which hell is that? Into the fire. I don't know how the Jehovah's Witness will explain this thing, Anita. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. I don't know how they explain this. Then he goes on to say, verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So like Jalana was saying, and the guy was saying, there's a place beyond your eyes and my eyes where when people die, they go. And they stay in that state, in that fire, forever. Why do we say forever? Because the spirit that lives in you, that when you die, it's going to leave you. That spirit never dies. It's human beings who die. Spirits don't die. So wherever spirits go to, it's forever. He says, where their worm dieth not. You know who is a worm? It's not it. It's not what we catch fish with. Job chapter 25. Job 25. How much less man? Job was arguing. That is a worm. So you and I are worms. That's what the Bible says. Where the worm dieth not. Mark 9:44. Job 25 says that, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. So as you are sitting down, Carla, you are a worm. And the Bible says that you don't die. When you go to hell, there's no death. And the worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. Hell is real. In the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 5. Closing just now. But I will forewarn you, Jesus says, whom you shall fear. Not the people who have escaped from jail. Please. You see, the road is quiet. I was expecting somebody Sunday night. The person said they did not get taxi to come. No taxi is coming. Nowhere. Hey! Oh, beautiful Guyana. Hey! The people on the road, they are shooting, they are killing people. Black man looking for life. I hear one of them. If it's not all of them, they have name though. They, you see, don't worry, don't mind these people. They can't account for the prisoners. Oh, please. And even Nigel Hughes had to post something about his client who they said was an escapee, but it's not. He had to post something on Facebook about his client. Because the police, the 1,000 something, I couldn't believe that 1,000 something prisoners can be kept in Camp Street like that. That place should never rise up. They should never build anything at that place. Should break it down and make it into some museum or something. Camp Street Museum. So that we can drive straight on Camp Street. They should remove the barricades so we can drive free and move around as we want in the city. One of them, I think, he ran away and he went home to tuition by his mother's house. And they went to pick him up and they picked the mother too. All he needs is some freedom. Guy looking for freedom. Food. Some little comfort. And then you closing shop and closing school because of these people? I'm going to get some homemade. Probably get some top up on his phone or something. It's a national disaster. National news. Once it's in Georgetown, it means that the whole world should know. They should take the jail to Mazaruni. When you escape, it's just a river. Swim. Once you swim, you're okay. At least when you get on the boat, you find somebody. They'll even be calling you and say, I'm here. Come for me. I'm dying. Not Camp Street where people are shouting, yeah, tell mommy for put some top up for me. Phone, right? Top up. Right there, Camp Street. Yeah. You pass around Durban Street and hear how they talk to you. Is that jail? That's no jail. No, you're making joke, you know. Ask yourself, how did the fire start? These guys got to be very intelligent to set this place up on fire like that. Unless somebody helped them. Which we are yet to find out. Just like we found out that the police and a constable or a security guard, they were part of this public bank something. Where did they get all the gasoline from? All the kero from? Where are those prison wardens who live our own? What do they do? How can they, under their watch, allow something like that to happen? They should be jailed themselves. How can they? They should be charged. The head of the prison should be charged for manslaughter. the prison, the guard who was shot and died, the head of the prison should be charged for that. How can prisoners who don't have anything be able to set the place on fire? I believe it's the prison wardens, it's the guards who set the place on fire. No, because who else? Where are these people going to get all these things from? Where do they get guns from? Where do they get matches from? Where do they get kerosene from? Who takes this thing to them? It's bigger than we are looking at. Politics and these things, they are always through lies and things. Like Americans are on Trump about Russia. It's all sabotage. When you turn on the TV, internet, all they talk about is Trump and Russia. Everything is Trump and Russia. Is that really what you really would think about? Trump and Russia? There's more to it than that. There's more to life than what we are seeing. He said, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Not some little boy at the corner who is waiting to snatch your bag you should fear. He said, I will tell you who you should fear. Fear him which after he hath killed you has the power to cast you into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. There's one we should fear, and that's God. You should live your life to fear God and to do according to his will. Luke chapter 16, verse 9, as I close. Hell is real. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Remember, Jesus will always speak in parables. Jesus was a great parable speaker. And the Bible says, and he spoke a parable unto them. He spoke a parable unto them. And to this end, he spoke a parable. The kingdom of God is like, there was this, there was that. This story here, the Bible didn't start by saying a parable. There's no phrase, there's no sentence, there's no verse in this incident here in Luke chapter 16 going that the Bible says that Jesus spoke a parable. In other words, he was talking about a real situation with real names. There was somebody called Lazarus. It wasn't a far-fetched name at all, because there was a guy who was Lazarus who also died, and he raised him from the dead. There was a certain rich man. That's why it starts with, there was a certain, there was, it was a real thing. Once upon a time, there lived a man, a rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously. His meals, his food, rich things, chicken, beef and fish and pork, nice sumptuous things he used to eat, and he was clothed nicely every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. When the guy's parents gave birth to him, they named him Lazarus. And therefore, Jesus refers to this guy that I'm talking about, a guy whose parents named him Lazarus. He was a beggar. He was a poor man. And he was a beggar. And he laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. Real things. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, after a few years, the beggar died. You see, in his state, he definitely will be the one who died first. Isn't it? Poor people die earlier than rich people. True of us. Franklin, poor people die faster because you don't have money to pay hospital bills. It's only Georgetown you can go. When you go to Georgetown, you need to have the Ministry of Patience. You need to have faith also, Evo. But if you don't have the gift of patience, the gift of faith, then you go to private. That's what the Bible says. And it came to pass that the beggar died. The person who died first was the beggar. It was as he was lying down at the gate of the rich man with sores. He was on his way dying. The rich man, if he gets a sore, he jumps on the plane and he goes to Trinidad and then he gets treatment. Like Jagdeo got a flu, or what is it, a cold or a flu or something. The medevac right from Florida came and picked him up, plane straight to Florida to be looked after. You, if you get a flu, you get dengue fever, you got to drink some bush. Some bush you got to drink. Drink some bush. Some Corilla. Drink some, what? Prayer leaf. They should bring a private jet to come and take you to Florida. How many times have you been to Florida yourself? It's TV you see that you see Miami. That's the closest you have come to. The beggar died. He was carried by angels. You see, but the nice thing is, even though he died early, when he died, angels came to carry him. And those of you who don't believe in life after death, those people who believe in this Hindu thing of what, you die, you come back like a goat or animal, you sit down and think about that. The Bible says that the poor man died, and when he died, this is not funeral parlor. Angels don't do parlor. There's no parlor business with angels. There's no Sandis, this is no Lycan, this is no Merriman. This is angelic escort. The poor man dies, and after he's dead, his body was somewhere. Spiritually, the angels carry the man's spirit into Abraham's bosom. And then many years later, after some good medical care, some private doctors, and all the nice facilities they had, heart diseases, bypass surgeries, pacemakers, and all of that, vitamins, and jogging, and seawall, and all them things, aerobics, all kinds of fantastic things these rich people did. He also died. But when he died, he was buried. No carrying, he was buried. Poor man dies, Lazarus dies, he's carried by angels. The rich man dies, he's buried. And I'm sure the cemetery was packed. I'm sure the vehicles, the DPL numbers. Hey, I just realized the other day when I went to Giffland Mall that there's a place where these DPL people, they park. I said, I won't come here again. Otherwise, I'll come with the DPL on my car too. What do you mean? All these things, that's what they are showing us. So when they die, there's a big funeral. But the only thing that happens to them is that they are buried. The next verse is very interesting. Hell is real. In verse 23, the Bible says that the rich man in hell. I wish the people who went to bury him, I wish they could have also followed him to see. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. This hell is not a place where you sleep. Rest in peace. There's no peace here. This one is no rest in peace. Well, this is R-I-T, rest in torment. There's no even rest. You'll be hollering. In hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. But you see, you think that, how can somebody die and then he's in torment and he feels and he has eyes, he lifts up his eyes. How can somebody lift up their eyes? The eyes that are right there in La Repente, that flood waters have brought up and worms have eaten up. Which eyes is he lifting up? This is not the eyes. This is not a real eyes. This is just like a little glass that the eye is looking through. This is like a little hole, nose hole, that the spirit is breathing through. This is the mouth that food goes into the stomach. These things are just earthly. The real you lives inside you. The day it goes out of your mouth like that. That's when people are dying. They do. That's it. The air, the spirit leaves the body. How can a spirit leave a body and still see? It means that what we think is real is not what it is. The real thing is an undiable, incorruptible, immortal soul. He lift up his eyes, beating torment, and seeth Abraham. He sees Abraham. This is it. Andre, this is interesting. The eyes are in the cemetery, but the guy is seeing. The guy is seeing, even though the eyes are down there in the cemetery. Like the guy who was buried, the arm robber, the Chinese, the guy who went to the robber who would have killed Republic Bank. I don't know who put his picture on Facebook. Deadline now with his suit, three-piece suit and his chain and all that. You put his face on Facebook. What? The guy is looking from wherever he is. He sees Abraham afar off. And interestingly, he sees Lazarus too with Abraham. And then he cried and said, "Hey, I thought when you die, you can't cry anymore. Amanda, I thought when you die, you can't cry." And he cried. When we die, we are not dead though. We are either going to rejoice or we are going to cry. He cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus." He's even in hell, he's thinking that he's still a rich man. He wants to send people around to do errands for him. Your riches is only here. Your money is only here. When your money finishes down here, when you go up there, you are not noted for anything. So he passed Abraham. He said, "Abraham, please send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger." Do we have water here? "He may dip the tip of his finger." I need water. Can I get a bottle of water? "He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Listen, you sit down with the Jehovah's Witness and let them tell you that there's no hell. Heaven is only for 144,000. Those of us who are going to be on earth, tell them, "You stay on earth. I'm going to heaven." He said, "Water." This is plenty. This is plenty. Can you see? Look. He said, "Abraham, please send Lazarus. I'm a rich man. I could have a whole black poly tank of distilled water in my house. I had money, I could buy the whole Banks DIH water and drink. But now I am here in a place where it's so hot. All I need." You see? It's not even falling. It means that even if it was possible, he would have been doing that. A drop. He said, "I just need a drop to cool my tongue." A drop of water can cool your tongue in hell? No, it's like he was so desperate that he's not even asking for a small 12-ounce liter of water, 12 ounce of water. He said, just a drop. It's so hot that I think that if even I get one drop, it will do something to me. I am tormented in this flame. Who said there's no hell? Who told you there's no hell? God is one day going to separate the sheep from the goats and send the goats to a place where the worm dieth not, nor is the fire quenched. Abraham was being so nice to him in 25. He said, but Abraham said, "Son, remember." It means that when you die, you will still remember. That's why when we go to heaven, we will see each other and say, "Hey, Pastor Ned, wow, you made it. Wow." Because when you die, your brain is not finished. the ants will eat your brain down here on earth, but the spiritual, you see, your mind is your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it's an inter, it's not something you can touch. Your soul and your spirit, they travel together, and you will remember people. They say, remember that you were living in Continental Park, Pradoville 2, oceanfront, 1 acre land, big house. You receive it in thy lifetime, the good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He goes on. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. What is between hell and heaven, it cannot be, you can't travel. There's no plane, there's no passage, there's no boat, there's no car. It is such that you can't move. You are separated forever. There's no mixing. So that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. And this is why you and I should be very serious about our Christian faith and evangelism. He said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. The rich man is asking us to do him a favor, to go to his father's house. There are many people who don't know about hell. He said, I have 5 brethren. I know how they are living their lives. They are just like me. They are just clothed in purple and feeding sumptuously every day. This hell thing is not real to them. Just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, just as in the days of our time, they don't believe that this hell is real. Please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my 5 brothers, and he may tell them that hell is real, lest they also come into this place, they also come into hell. That is what you and I are supposed to do. Not to come here and expect blessings from God only. Not to come here and expect our marriages and our relationships and our businesses and our jobs and our problems to be solved. But to go out and tell somebody about the place where fire burns all day long, all night long, and it cannot be quenched. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to bring the lost back home, to save their souls from hell. The Bible says in Jude, let me finish quickly, in Jude chapter 20. Jude, is it Jude 20 or Jude something? Jude 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere there. Maxwell, probably you know what I'm talking about. He said, for some, yeah, save them, pull them out. Jude. My God. Jude 6, 15, something like that. Oh. At least give me Jude 1 and let's travel. Can we have Jude 1? At least 1. Don't keep me at Luke. Eh? Let me know that you're traveling with me. And he says, and others. Others. It could be your mother. Andreska, it could be your father. It could be your auntie. It could be your sister. He said, others. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garment spotted by the flesh. God wants us to pull people out of the fire. It is an active responsibility. It's not passive. It's not something that you should sit down and it will happen. It is something that you should stretch your hand and make it happen. It's something that you must be involved. It's something that I must be involved. That people should be pulled out of hell. People already are going to hell, you know, because they don't know Jesus. We have to pull them out of hell. The Lord has spoken. It is now up to us. This church must be filled 10 times on a Sunday. If you and I would take the hell message and educate people about hell. If I get the criminals, I'll tell them, Come Street is not even serious, you know. Rather escape from hell, not Come Street. be an escapee of hell rather than Lot 12 come straight. Because hell is worse than you can imagine. Stand to your feet, please. Into your hand I commit again with all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. With all I am.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.